This morning, I want to speak to you about going from victory to victory. One person has said, and I've heard my dad say it many times, that once a person gets a victory, the devil comes with a counterattack. In fact, I've heard him talk to people about healing. In fact, I remember one time he tells a story when he was pastoring one of the churches. He prayed for a man that had arthritis. And that's whenever he was pastoring, I think, in Farmersville, because the man lived on, had a farm, and he got healed. And Dad went by to see him, and there he was, back in the same condition again. And Dad said to him, said, let me tell you what happened. The enemy came back with that pain, and you said, oh, I thought I got healed. I guess I didn't. He said, yeah, how'd you know? He said, because that's what people do. He said, you should have immediately rejected it in the name of Jesus, because the devil will come back. You know, some of you heard my testimony of healing of my ear, that fungus in my ear when I was 15. Well, I don't know how many years ago it's been now, maybe 30 years ago, or maybe more, I don't know. Anyway, I began to have hurting in that ear again, and Dr. Mass was here at that time, and he was going to be with the Lord, but he was an ear, nose, and throat guy, a doctor, and so I went to see him, and he said, yeah, he said, that looks like that fungus trying to come back. I immediately said, in the name of Jesus, I've been free for this all these years, and you're not going to bring it back. The enemy, he will come back in a counterattack, and you have to be ready for it. See, just walking in victory, I'm talking about going from victory to victory. Walking in victory doesn't mean just winning one battle. Walking in victory means staying in victory. The enemy won't leave you alone just because you won one battle. Actually, we need to develop a victory mentality in line with the Word of God. Always think victoriously. Always think on the positive side. My dad said that, I don't know how many times I've heard him say, son, stay on the positive. Don't get on the negative. Stay on the positive. Now, let's look at the Israelites. They just won a great victory in Exodus 15:19. When Pharaoh's horses and charioteers rushed into the sea, the Lord brought the water crashing down on them, but the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine and led all the women as they played their tambourines and danced. Miriam sang the song, sing to the Lord, he has triumphed, glory, he has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. Now here they were on the other side of the sea, of the Red Sea. And actually, if you remember the story, God had told them, hey, you know, stand still and you'll see these Pharaoh and this army, the Egyptians, you'll see them no more. Well, that's what happened. Because they got on the other side and they looked back and the water come in on top of them and that was it. Man, they were singing, they were shouting, they were dancing. What a glorious celebration. You know, that reminds me as a kid when we would go and even at camp meetings here, you know, we'd be singing songs of victory and we'd sing about the power and the blood and victory in Jesus and all those songs. And it was an exciting time. People would run and shout and dance and as people were singing the victory songs. But after camp meeting is over, when tests and trials come, it's not as easy to sing when you're by yourself. It's easy to walk in victory when you're there in the meeting and everything's going good and you're shouting and dancing. It's a different story when you're out there by yourself. Amen. You know, and this is what happened to the, this is exactly, they won a great victory. Now look what happened to them. Let's go to Exodus 15, 22 through 25, and let's look at this. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled into the desert for 3 days without finding water. When they came to an oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink, so they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and the water was made good to drink, and it was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. Now here the Israelites had just won a great victory. God had just delivered them. Now all of a sudden their singing turns to whining, their shouting turns to doubting, their celebration turns to complaining. The problem is the Israelites didn't stay alert to maintain the victory. You know, I've heard the saying, let us be watchful after the victory, as watchful after the victory as before the battle. Anytime you're in the military, you're trained, once you win the battle, you stay ready for a counterattack from the enemy. Because, now, let me say this. Our life as we live it down here is a battleground. It's not a playground. Satan will come at you in various forms and from various directions. And we all know John 10:10, we say it around here all the time. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is give your life, to give you a rich and satisfying life, it says in the NLT. American Standard said the thief comes only to steal and destroy. Satan, our enemy, wants to destroy anything that has to do with God. That's why he is working so hard to try to destroy anything, churches, anything that does with God. Really, he's working overtime right now because he knows the time is short. It's almost, his time is almost up of being the god of this world. See, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the devil is the god of this world, and it's almost up. Sometimes Satan comes at, he's always a roaring lion going around, seeking whom he may devour, according to 1 Peter 5:8. Now, sometimes the devil will come at you to steal your victory as a false prophet. In 2 Corinthians 11:14 in NLT, it says, these people are false prophets. They're deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised, for even Satan, disguises his self as an angel of light. Now, Satan comes through people masquerading as ministers of righteousness. And you have to be careful about what people are teaching. See if what they're teaching really lines up with the Word of God. Come on now. You know, sometimes, that's why I'm always telling people, be careful about who you listen to. I mean, you can be listening to somebody and it sounds really good, and then all of a sudden there'll be just a little offshoot here, and they'll say some things that are not too good. But the problem is, some people, because they're saying all the good stuff, they swallow the bad stuff too. When I went to Bible college, my dad told me, he said, son, have as much sense as an old cow. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, eat the hay and leave the sticks and the stubble. If you've never been in a barnyard where you used to have to, you put out a bale of hay, the cows come in and eat. And when you're baling, that baler goes through the field, it picking up the hay to bale it, it would pick up sticks, glass, rocks, everything. And you have to go after they get through eating. They leave that stuff alone. You got to go out there with a shovel and a rake and get it up. Anybody ever done know what I'm talking about? Yeah. See, the thing about it, when you have to be careful. Sometimes some people have a good teaching in one area, but they're off in another area. And you got to be careful, because if you tell somebody about them, they'll listen, but they don't know how to discern between what they need to take and what they don't. Hello. I don't know why I said that, but I did. Sometimes Satan comes to steal your victory through negative circumstances that happen. You know, and he'll get on your shoulder and tell you, oh yeah, see, it's not going to work this time. I told you it wouldn't work. He brings that stuff. We need to realize that right after a victory is won, you better really be on the alert. Too often, after a victory, we have a tendency to let down because we're rejoicing. I don't know how many of you guys played ball in high school, but coach would, after the game, we won the game, he said, enjoy the victory tonight, because tomorrow we start all over again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, you can't, and some people call it rest on your laurels. You can't just expect, if you don't do what's necessary, you can't keep winning. You got to keep doing the same thing you did to win that victory. You got to keep doing the same thing. I mean, just because we won that Friday night, no sign we're going to win next Friday night just because we won. If we don't go out there and practice and do what we're supposed to do, we're not going to win. So many people, they have a victory, and then they just rejoicing, and they're not really keeping themselves built up and ready for an attack. You know, the Israelites had that great victory. But what in the world happened to them then? Well, they started murmuring. They started complaining because they didn't have, you know, they didn't have any water to drink. And they forgot that the same God that gave them that victory could give them this victory. Another thing we have to be careful about is guarding against being overconfident and prideful. Now, what am I talking about? Well, some people talk about, oh yeah, oh man, you know, faith, I'm believing God and so forth and so on. Well, you know, you don't be overconfident. My dad used to say this, and he'd said, son, he said, if the economy is going down, he said, don't go out and start building something. I've seen preachers say, oh, well, don't make no difference. We believe in God. Well, thing about it is, and my dad used to say to me, son, if the people don't have it, they can't give it, and God's not making money up in heaven. See, some people get overconfident. Now, God will always provide, but if you're not careful, you'll get yourself, oh, man, look, man, look what's happening. Look what I can do. You know, well, you can't do nothing. God does it. Have you ever seen somebody that believe in God and they have, you know, and they get really, I mean, anybody ever? I've seen lots of people. They get, I call it getting overconfident, you know. You know, they just say, oh, man, don't worry about it. The devil's nothing. I've defeated him. Man, don't worry about it. Well, don't worry about it, but you better make sure that you keep Jesus on board. Okay? You know, and guard against feeling and emotion. You'll have the great feeling and emotion after a victory. And I've seen many people go out of the building, man, whoo, praising God. And the next morning they're calling the pastor, oh, help me. You know, well, hey, you gotta be ready to have another victory. After great victories will come tests. Somebody said, well, that's negative. Yeah, it is, but it's the truth. Okay? After the victory party, there will be a test. You know, let's look at Elijah on Mount Carmel. At the usual time for the offering, the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar. This is after the prophets of Baal had begged and pleaded for their God, cut themselves, done all kinds of shenanigans, trying to get their God to bring down fire. Nothing had happened. So Elijah rebuilt the altar, and besides that, he poured 12 barrels of water on top of the wood, dug a trench around it. At the usual time for the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up the altar and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove yourself that you're the God of Israel, that I am the servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so the people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. Immediately fire flashed down from heaven, burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, the dust, even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell down on their face to the ground and cried out, Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God. Then Elijah commanded, seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one of them escape. So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley and killed them there. Oh, what a day. What a great victory. And then he prayed, and the rain came, and it hadn't rained for 3 years because God told him, and he told them, he said it's going to be a drought. And now he prays, and it rains. Man, fire come down from heaven, rain came. But look what happened next in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 3. When Ahab got home and told Jezebel, that's the queen, everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed the prophets of Baal, she sent a message to Elijah, may the God strike me and even kill me by this time tomorrow if I've not killed you just as you have killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah. There he was, just had a great victory. Not only did the fire come down, not only did the rain come, but he outran the king's chariot for about a period of somewhere around 14 miles across the Jezreel Valley. And I'm sure the king did not have junk horses. I'm sure he had the best horse flesh that there was. I'm sure he had the best chariot that there was. The wheels wasn't wobbling. It was, but Elijah, and if you'll read the story, it says he sent the king on ahead, and then he went and prayed and for the rain, and then he took off. He had to catch him and outrun him. And now, here he is. He takes off running because the queen said that she is going to have his head, just like he had those prophets of Baal. In discouragement and fear, he ran for his life. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is it that same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that burned up the sacrifices? Isn't he able to protect the prophet? See, Elijah discovered the power of God on Mount Carmel, and now he discovers his weakness. He didn't believe the God that had moved so miraculously. You see, the counterattack after the victory is something that we can learn a lesson from. When you have a great victory, be ready for the enemy to come after you, and don't go running off, oh, what am I going to do? No, stand your ground and say, hey, the same God that just gave me that victory will give me this victory, and I'll have victory after victory. You see, we need to make sure we pass the test. One day Jesus, you know, he was ministering to 5,000 people, fed them. Then Matthew, let's go read Matthew 15 through 21. I've been reading from NLT today. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, that isn't necessary. You feed them. But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here, he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day in addition to all the women and children. Man, what a display these disciples just saw of the power of God. He miraculously fed 5,000 men, and they didn't count the women and children. Anytime you see there in the New Testament and you see a number, you got to realize that's all, they only counted the men. They didn't count women and children. I don't know why, but they didn't. Well, I do, but I'm not going to go into that. All right. Now, afterwards, Jesus told the disciples this in Matthew 14, 22 through 27. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross over the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went into the hills by himself to pray the night. While he was alone there, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble away from land, for a strong wind had risen. They were fighting the waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward him walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, and they cried out, oh, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, don't be afraid. Take heed. I'm here. Now, here they are. There they are with the, you know, last Sunday, I remember I preached going to the other side. Now I read it from another gospel. It reads a little different from the other gospel. And now they had just seen him feed 5,000. And now that was the lesson. Okay? That's the lesson. They saw him feed the 5,000. Now they have an exam. They have to deal with the storm. And they forgot that the same power of God that fed 5,000 people would protect them in the storm. And Jesus said to them, in one of the other gospels, he said, how is it that you have no faith? I was going to paraphrase it in my language. How is it you have no faith? See, that was his response. They didn't get a very high grade on the exam. Today, when tests come after we've had a victory, make sure we've learned the lesson so that we can pass the exam. Oh, come on now. How many of you have had a great victory, and it wasn't but just a little bit, and another big test hit you? If you're still having a victory party and not studying the Word and staying alert, you fail the test. Come on now. I know that's a little different, but how many of you get what I'm trying to get across to you? Is the fact that we have the victory, and we win a victory, but another test will come at us, and that's when we've got to go back and grab a hold of the fact the same power of God that won this victory will take me to this victory, and then the same power of God that takes me through this test to a victory will take me through this test to a victory. And so we just learn to go from victory to victory, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. See, don't grow weary in fighting the good fight of faith. For he will help you in every battle. And through him, you'll find victory every time. As you take the word and continue to walk with the word, the victory is always there. But you're the one that declares whether it be victory or defeat by taking the word of God and letting it come out of your mouth. That's where your victory or your defeat will come. If you say, oh no, what am I going to do? Then it's defeat. You'll find defeat. But if you begin to say what my word says and begin to believe what my word says, it'll be victory. You see, it's not up to me, says the Lord. It's up to you whether you go from victory to victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's good enough. I'm going to stop right there. I mean, I can't beat that. The Holy Ghost came in. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Glory to God. Glory to God. Everybody stand up and thank God, because we can live in victory. We don't have to live in defeat. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have a trial. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have situations, because in John 16:33, Jesus said, I've told you these things. In this world you will have tests and trials, but in me you have victory. Hallelujah. I'm paraphrasing it, what he said there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God that we have victory. Bow your heads for just a moment. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus, or somebody to rededicate their life, or somebody to be filled with the precious Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about the Bible. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, and Spirit gave them utterance there in Acts 2:4. If you're in this congregation this morning and you need Jesus, or you need to rededicate your life. You know what it is to serve God, but you're not where you're supposed to be, and you need to rededicate. Or you're in here and you know you're born of the Spirit, you better been filled with the Spirit, and you want to be filled with the Spirit today. Let me see your hand. Anyone on any three invitations? I'm looking across this room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this room. There's some hands being raised up in the balcony. Yes, some hands over here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Listen, I want to pray with you, but I can't pray with you if I don't know who you are. So I want to ask you to step out from your pew. If you're in the balcony, the ushers will help you get down these stairs. If you're down here, step on out. I'm going right down front. I'm going to meet you down there. I'm going to pray with you, and you won't leave this place like you came today. All right, come on now. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on, this is your opportunity. This is your time. Up in the balcony, come on. Downstairs, I saw several hands downstairs, several upstairs. Come on now. Over on this side, come on, come on. Don't wait, come on. If you raised your hand, come on. I'm waiting on you. God's waiting on you. You have to make the move. I'm waiting. Thank you, Jesus. I think we got some coming from the balcony, I know. Come on. You that are down here, come on. Don't stand there just because you don't want to step out. This is your opportunity to change yourself. Come on down. Here comes people from the balcony right there. There they're coming. If you're down here, come on. You won't be by yourself. There's others that are coming. Come on. Come on, guys. Right over here. Come right over here. Stand right in front of me, right here. Just stand in line, right here. Come here. Some more from the balcony. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on right now. Come on. This is your time. This is your hour to change your life forever. Come on now. Some of you down here on this first floor, you lifted your hand, but you hadn't got here yet. I'm waiting on you. I'm going to wait on you for just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Father's arms are open. You that come from the balcony, you came a long way, but it's worth it. Here, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Here comes some more from the balcony right now. Come on, hallelujah. Here comes some more here, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Come on, guys, come on. This is it. This is our opportunity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you. Bless you. Y'all can go with her. Bless you. God bless you. Bless you. Hey, guys. Bless you. Bless you, guys. Bless you. God bless. Hallelujah. Bless you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, two more came down. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what I like to see right here. Bless you, young lady. Bless you, man. Hallelujah. This is what I like to see right here. People that are not afraid to step out and say, hey, I want all that God's got for me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, I got three little books in my hand. One says New Birth, talks about the salvation. For you that are for salvation or rededication. One that called in Him just talks about being in Christ. And then one, Why Tongues, that talks about the Holy Spirit. Now, if I said I was going to give you these three books and I put them out here, what you got to do to get them? Somebody show me. There you go. You got them. They're yours. Now, every one of y'all are going to get those same books in just a moment. I did that as an example. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing that you came down here for. It comes from heaven on high. Just as she reached her hand out, I want you to raise one hand toward heaven. I don't care which one it is. And with that hand, you're saying, okay, God, I'm reaching up to get what I came for. Congregation, reach your hands out and pray for them as I pray here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their lives will be met today. I thank you for salvation, for rededication, for the blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that every spiritual need in these lives is met today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to ask y'all to do one more thing. I'm going to ask you to go to a place we call it a prayer room. There are going to be people there to pray with you to make sure you got what you come down here for. You're going to get those three little books, okay? And so would you just turn right that way and see Brother Dave right there? And he has people waiting in the prayer room back there for you. Would y'all just follow him to that special place? It's right back there in the back of the auditorium. Family, they'll be back in a minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, this liver disease has to go in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He said he already filled with the Spirit. He just wanted to be prayed for his liver. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Somebody having, you got some kind of kidney disease problem. I don't know. All I hear is minister to kidneys. If that's you, step on out, come down here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, some coming from the balcony. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You get ready to receive. The anointing will come on you, and when it does, you just say, thank you, I take it. Because, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We'll start down here. Okay, well, hallelujah, put your hands on their kidneys. Receive right now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in the name of Jesus right now. Healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for complete healing in Jesus' name. Healing in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Yeah, I pray. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you. Put your hands up and thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Is anything else you want? We're open. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Somebody said, well, why did you just do that? Well, that's what the Spirit of God said, do. Somebody said, well, there's others. Yeah, there may be, but remember, Jesus went to a place where there was a whole bunch of sick people, and he only went to the one person. I don't know why the Lord works that way sometimes, but I started to walk back, and he said kidneys. And so that's what I did. Amen. Put your hands up and thank God for these. Thank God that the healing power of God's working in their body to affect the healing and the cure. Amen. You guys, some of you were healed instantly. Some of you may not be healed instantly, but keep saying, keep saying, keep saying, the healing power of God's working in my body to affect the healing and the cure. Healing power of God's working in my body to affect the healing and the cure until the complete manifestation comes. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, tonight, 6 o'clock right here will be service. Wednesday night, hour of power. Praise the Lord. There's where we're going to be if you want to see any of the pastoral staff, because we disperse to shake hands with you. And hey, go connection team, find the first time guests and take them out to the lobby. And we have a special gift just for you. Thank you for being with us. They're going to sing a chorus. Allow all the pastoral staff to get to the doors. And then Dan will dismiss you. God bless.